He knows what temptation is because he was tempted to the very full, but yet without sin. Our great high priest, he knows the full extent of the cost to conquer the flesh because he lived in the flesh, yet he lived without sin. And he knows how hard it is for us sometimes in our flesh and how we fail. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great having you tuning in today as we continue Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament Epistle of Hebrews. Today, we dive into the second half of this profound message, picking up where we left off. We'll discover how Jesus Christ fulfilled every requirement of the high priesthood flawlessly, becoming the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He learned obedience through suffering, a perfect sinless man who fully experienced our human condition, yet without sin. Now, Pastor, with part two of What Jesus Offered Up.
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Aren't you glad that Jesus obeyed the will of God the Father? And so this happened three times. You know, Jesus went and prayed over and over. And again, he found his disciples sleeping. He said, can you not just tarry with me 1 hour? And of course, we know that Judas was coming and the soldiers and the Jewish priest and all the rest of them, the temple guard, to arrest our Lord. But here's what I want you to see. When you see Jesus falling on his face, does that do anything to you? I mean, it does something to me because I don't like what I see. I don't understand what I see. I mean, I look and I say, oh, Lord, I mean, it breaks my heart. I mean, you know, here he is. It's almost like we don't recognize the Lord in Gethsemane. Do you understand? I mean, he's the Prince of Peace, and now he needs peace. He's the one who delivered the leper, the blind, fed the 5,000, raised the dead, and all of a sudden now he needs, it seems, deliverance. I mean, listen, he could silence the storms. He could cast out a demon, he could speak a word and the word would go and heal someone. Do you understand? And here he is. And then I said, oh Lord, what Jesus offered up. It's a priestly thing. And I say, oh Lord, you see, you want to know what Jesus offered up? Jesus did not fall on his face for himself. Jesus fell on his face for me and for you and for all mankind. Do you understand that? And I say, oh, Lord, you did that for me? Yeah, he agonized. The agony wasn't for him. It was for you. The decision that was being made in his spirit, in his heart, even though it was already made. See, he was a human, but he was God. He had all the emotions that you have. We could never understand the depth of our Lord's suffering. He was hurting for you. Listen, when he offered up the great drops of blood, that was not for himself. That was for you. And he said, this cup, man, Lord, if you let it pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Listen, this cup, can you imagine the horror? He knew what he was facing. He knew the Roman soldiers were going to beat him, scourge him, nail him to a tree, and he knew he was going to rise the third day. Amen. But loved one, the horror of being made sin. Jesus, he took that cup, but listen to me now, he took the cup from every person's hand. He was the substitute, the God-man in agony. God and man, there he is in agony, weeping. You know what happened on the cross from 9 a.m. to noon when Jesus prayed, he addressed God as Father. Father, forgive them. Remember, they don't know what they do. But then from 12 to 3, what happened? Darkness was sent all over the land. And then something happened. Jesus, he did not pray Father anymore. He couldn't. He was being made the sin of the world. Do you understand? He was bearing the sin of the world. Isaiah says his visage, speaking of what happened to him on the cross, not the beating of the soldiers, his visage did not even, it looked like an animal. He did not look human. That's what sin that was being laid upon him. Contorted his body. Do you understand? Oh, Lord, what you did from noon to three. And he didn't pray, Father. Remember what he prayed? He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not the cry of a Savior. It is, but it's the cry we would have cried. He took our place. He took everything we were to take. He took the wrath of God, the punishment of God, the sin of the world. He experienced what we will never experience. Do you understand that? He did it to the full brunt. That's what Jesus offered up for you and for me. He knows what death really is. He knows what eternal death really is. And we will never experience eternal death because of what Jesus has done. Amen? And I say, oh Lord, there is no one like you. Jesus did what no Old Testament priest could ever do. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, sin. Sin. Man, the sinless, spotless Son of God. God treated his own Son as if he had sinned all the sins that the world committed. Do you understand? He treated him that way. He was treated as if he was the sinner, even though he had never sinned. For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I look at that and I say, what an offering he made. Look back at 38 of Matthew 26. And Jesus said to them, meaning the disciples, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. In other words, I'm overcome right now with so much sorrow. I don't know if my body is going to stay, and even though he knew it. But I'm telling you, he experienced. Are you listening to me? He experienced that in his body, the human side. And he says, stay here, man, and watch with me. Now, when Jesus said, my soul, he's talking about, again, his human side. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane as man and there for man. Amen? But listen carefully now. Jesus prayed to the Father earlier to be saved out of death or saved from death. So from in Greek is ek. It means out of death, if you will, not from death because Jesus rose from the dead. Here's what I believe. I believe, and this is only, I'm not adding or taking away, I'm telling you what I personally believe. There in the garden, I believe that Jesus was praying also that his human side wouldn't fail, meaning that it would live. Listen, did he get weak? Did he get sleepy?
Yes.
Did he get hungry? Did he ache? If he worked, did he ache like we ache? Of course he did. He was man, but he was God-man. He experienced everything we experienced. And there in the garden, the human side, he was saying, I'm so sorrowful, my soul, meaning the human side. It's exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I feel like it's not going to make it. That's what he's praying and saying. He said to the disciples, listen, I believe and I know that Christ's greatest longing, more than anything else, remember it says that Jesus set his face like flint to Jerusalem. He was determined, a divine determination to die for us, to die for mankind. He says, I can't wait to be baptized with that. That's how much he loves us. But loved one, listen, his greatest longing and there in the garden was to live, the human side, to live long enough just to get on that cross. Just long enough to get upon that cross and die for all mankind. What did Jesus tell us in John 10:10? He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hebrews 12:2 says, it was for the joy set before him, which is us, mankind. Joy set before him. He endured the shame of the cross. He endured the spitting. He endured all of it for you and me. J. Vernon McGee believes, of course, J. Vernon McGee knows now he's in heaven, but if you've ever read through the Bible, his commentaries, which are good, wonderful, you know, he believed that Satan was trying to kill our Lord there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe that's true. We don't know. But I do know this, at the end of Luke's gospel, when it talks about Jesus in the garden, and they came and arrested him, what did Jesus say to the people, the guards and the Romans and the temple guards from the Jews? What did he say to them? He said, okay, this is your hour. Yep, you're going to do with me whatever you want. This is mankind's hour. You're going to do to me things that all the prophecies, all the scriptures, they're going to be fulfilled. He said, this is your hour, but my hour is coming. But this is your hour. And he said, and the power of darkness, the devil, the things that were happening. Oh, loved one, listen, the things that Jesus did. Now look back at Hebrews chapter 5 and go to verse 8 with me quickly. In verse 8 of Hebrews 5, and though Jesus, though he was a son, the son, the perfect, spotless, sinless, and though he was the expressed image of God, the creator, sustainer of all things, though he was a son, yet he what? He learned obedience. How did he do that? By the things which he suffered. Listen, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And I say, dear Lord, what does that mean? Now, listen, I mean, was Jesus perfect? Was he sinless? I mean, listen to one scholar. He says obedience was most willing obedience, talking about Jesus. He learned how painful a thing obedience is. It's our depravity, our pride, our desire for independence, which makes obedience a painful thing. These principles did not exist in the mind or heart of our Lord Jesus. What was disagreeable to man was agreeable to Jesus. John Brown from the 1800s, a great commentator, he says this about the Lord. He says, obedience was his meat and his drink. His meat and his drink was to do the will of God the Father. Listen, Jesus is God. Think about this now. He needed to learn nothing. Amen? Now wait, because was Jesus' will identical with the Father? Absolutely. But listen now, he did not need to learn how to obey because it would be impossible for him to disobey because he's sinless. But verse 8, then Bill, where's the catch? Because he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Verse 8 is not speaking about his divinity. It's speaking about his humanity. He had to grow up and learn this and that just like all of us, yet he was without sin. Now, the Bible tells us in John 8, 29, Jesus said this, I always do those things that please my Father. Always. Everything I do pleases him. I'm always obedient. It says in Philippians 2, 8, and being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus, he humbled himself and became, here's that word, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, it says, verse 8, by the things he suffered, man, the God-man, he had to experience because he represents man, amen? In other words, he identified with us. He became one of us, yet without sin. He is the God-man, 100% human, 100% God, in one body. Loved one, listen, he understands everything about you because he was a man. The weakness that we feel, the pain that we feel, the doubt that we feel. Like I told you in the last sermon, last Sunday, whenever it was, that he knows why people lie. He knows what temptation is because he was tempted to the very full, but yet without sin. And he did all of that for us. Listen, our great high priest, he knows the full extent of the cost to conquer the flesh because he lived in the flesh, yet he lived without sin. And he knows how hard it is for us sometimes in our flesh and how we fail. Amen? Now, it says in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, honor, that he might by grace taste death for everyone. Why did he taste death for everyone? Because sin has a demand, death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is, that's not physical death, loved one. It is spiritual death, and meaning eternal death, meaning to be eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever. The wages of sin, sin has a payday. If you don't know Christ, you're going to stand before Jesus, stand before God one day, and listen to me, Jesus paid for your sin, and now if a person doesn't come to Christ, he's going to have to pay for his own sin, amen? Because it says the wages of sin is death. Sin has a payday, okay? And it's death, eternal separation from God. But then it says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank God for that. It's a gift. God just gives it to us. He loves us if you come to Christ. It says in Romans 5:19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, meaning Jesus, many will be made righteous. Now look at verse 9 with me. And having been perfected, talking about Jesus, and having been perfected, remember he was through suffering, that's how it happened, and having been perfected, he became the author, the source, if you will, the only source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, having been perfected, does that mean that Jesus was not perfect? And now finally he is perfect? No. And that's very important, especially I encourage you always do word studies. Because you see the word there, having been perfected, it doesn't mean that Jesus was made perfect. It means the word perfected there means completed or finished. Jesus has always been the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of the living God. Amen? He is God. So Jesus, what did he do? He perfected or completed. He finished the task. The task meaning he obtained every qualification, everything needed, not only to be our great high priest, but to give us eternal salvation. Everything has been done. And it says, to all who obey him. No Old Testament priest, no Jewish priest could ever accomplish that. Look at verse 10. And it says, called by God as high priest. That's a beautiful word. In the Greek, it would be like this. It would means where God designated him. It's like a royal introduction, if you will, the word called there. So God called him. And look at that title, as high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, hard to explain, it sure is, Paul, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, that's the third warning, and I'm not going to get into that until the next time we're together. But verse 9, it tells us that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And what kind of salvation does God offer? Only one kind, and it's eternal, isn't it? Amen? It's eternal salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12 that we have obtained eternal redemption in Christ Jesus. He had obtained it for us. We're eternally purchased, if you will. Now, if you can lose your salvation, and there are those that teach that you can, and there's those that teach that if you sin, you need to get saved all over again. Well, there's no such thing as sinless perfection. Amen? I mean, none. If you think that, I want you to come down and pray for me, because I would love to be have that, but this, you don't, not until we get home. Amen? Yes. So if eternal salvation, when a person truly comes to Christ and Jesus is their Lord, when they say, Jesus, save me, be my Lord, and you're walking with the Lord in your life, you're not saved halfway or three quarters of the way. God doesn't do that. He gives you eternal salvation. You are sealed with the Spirit of God until the very day of redemption. Amen? John 10, no one can ever snatch you out of his hand. Now, if someone can snatch you out of the hands of Jesus, then the Bible is a lie. It's not true. Do you understand? It's eternal. There's only one kind of salvation. It is eternal. And if you lose it next year, then there's a problem, and the problem's not with God, it's with you. Because God gives you no other kind but that one. Now listen. And then it says something else. It says, all who obey him, he gives that eternal salvation to. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that, gosh, I've got to take all these commands, and if I don't obey this, I'm not saved? You can't obey a command until you are saved. So what is he talking about there? All who obey him. Talking about all who come to him. See, Jesus said in John 3:3, unless you're born again, you cannot even see, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. It's impossible. Eternal life is real. The moment, loved one, listen, I told the first service that someone came to me this week and I was ministering to them and they said, you know, Bill, I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of dying. And I can understand that. You know, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're a believer and you don't really know and you're not educated in God's Word, you could be afraid of death, couldn't you? Amen? Yes. Okay, I'm going to breathe my last. I'm going to die. There's no way out. I mean, am I really saved? You see? Well, you're really saved if you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. I'm not talking about and then go and live like hell. You follow me? I'm talking about you're being changed from glory to glory to glory into the image of Christ. You're going on with the Lord. You're not running from God. You're running with God. Amen? Now, so the moment, death can't touch you. Do you understand? You have eternal life. It can't touch you. It can't touch you. Jesus already tasted what you will never taste. He has abolished death. and brought life and immortality to light, it says in Timothy. Amen? Abolished death. Jesus rendered death completely, totally inoperative. Whatever death is can never, never, never touch a Christian. Oh, now, your body is going to die, but we want it to get rid of this thing, believe me. Okay? Believe me. Yeah. Listen. No. Man, the moment that we close our eyes, that eternal life that we already have, that's been given to us, that gift, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see Jesus. Because it says to be absent from this body is to be present, immediately present with the Lord. Scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I'll fear nothing. He says, why? Well, for the Lord is with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. Amen? Oh, listen. You read the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death. Verse 57, 56, 57, 58. Oh, death, where's your sting? Where is it? Where is it? Well, you mean that was death? That little mosquito bite? Do you see what I'm getting at? No, I'm telling you, the moment that happens, one of my favorite scriptures that I still am learning to try to understand, precious in the sight of the Lord, precious, valuable in the sight of the Lord, meaning he sees, he is there, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. His saints, set apart ones, the ones that he has sanctified and cleansed, and in the blood of Jesus has removed their sin, because Jesus, our high priest, he paid for it. Amen? Forever and ever, your home. Eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Those that are listening live, those that are listening on the radio, those here in the chapel, you know, if you live another 5 years, let's say you have 5 years left. I pray you have until Jesus comes, the rapture. But if you only have 5 years left, what kind of person will you turn out to be in these next 5 years? 5 years. What road are you on right now? I'm speaking to you if you don't know Christ. Do you understand? Where are you going to be if you don't know Jesus? Where are you going to be in 5 years? If you live 5 years, or even if you live 30 years, do you understand? Where are you going to end up? What road are you on? There is only one road. One. Like I said a couple of Sundays ago, yeah, all roads lead to God. But only one road leads to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That means you have to be born again. You have to be in Christ. And when you die, you go home, man. You go home. That's what Jesus offered it all up for you. All of it for me. So as our heads are bowed and no one looking around and all the Christians praying and the guys listening live, listen, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, save me, you can do that right now. You don't have to ever come back to Calvary Chapel. I'm not asking you. Calvary Chapel can't save you. Jesus is the one who saves you. He died for you. He purchased you. He wants you. You say, well, Bill, what do I do? Well, the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God raised him from the dead. God says, if you believe that in your heart, I'll save you. I'll save you right now. In the midst of your sin, the horrible sin maybe you committed last night, or maybe even thinking about the sin you're getting ready to commit. He says, oh, I want you. All you have to do is come to me. So as all believers are praying, loved one, if that's you, if you're here and you say, Bill, I'm not a Christian. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want it right now. Just lift your hand. Don't come down here. Just lift your hand high and say, I want you to pray, Bill. Anyone here at all, lift it up and put it right back down. Father, maybe those that are online, if that's you, you just ask Christ to come into your heart right now. Just say, Jesus, save me. Be the Lord of my life. Right now, save me in Jesus' name. And you know what? You pray that and he'll save you right there. You may be sitting in a bar. You may be in your car smoking dope. It doesn't matter, man. If you cry out to him, he will rescue you right now. Father, we praise you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for the people of God, the sheep of your pasture. I just thank you for all the good things that you do for us, because you are good and continually doeth good, Lord. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill's series will continue on our next broadcast, so please tune in again, won't you? We appreciate you listening with us today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.